Welcome, everybody. Welcome to episode number 18. I have a very special guest on the show today, Mr. Nabil Naqvi from Zoo and Mattis, and he is a real estate or lawyer. He specializes in several cases, including real estate law. And Nabil has actually done most of my transactions in the past, and I've been very happy with the services, and so have my clients. And thanks for coming on the show, Nabil.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot for having me. It's a pleasure to finally get together and do this. We've worked together in the past, like you mentioned, so there's a lot of synergies there. And I look forward to continue to work with you in the future to service your clients and my clients.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully there's lots of more deals to be made in the future, and looking forward to that as well. So let's get started. Talk about your background, how you got started.
Yeah, so I had a kind of a non-traditional approach to becoming a lawyer. Although I always knew since high school I wanted to be a lawyer, the timing just didn't seem right at certain times. So after I finished my bachelor's degree at York University, I actually entered the workforce, and I worked for several companies, including IBM and a few other Fortune 500 companies, just to gain experience in the business world to see how the real world works. After that is when I made the decision in 2012. To go to law school, and I ended up going to Australia because for several reasons. Number one being that they had an accelerated program there, so it was 2 years instead of 3 years. So I was able to get my degree in 2 years, and I came back here in 2014. I articled with a real estate law firm, and in 2015 of June, I was called to the bar, became a lawyer, and the rest is history. I've just been working primarily in the field of real estate law, but I also do corporate law, commercial law, and a few other stuff in terms of wills and estates.
So when it comes to real estate law, right now in Ontario, why do buyers and sellers need to hire a lawyer for the transactions?
Yeah, that's a great question, actually, because I have a lot of clients who live in the U.S., for example, and in many states it's common not to use a lawyer. In fact, it's not required to use a lawyer. However, in Canada and in Ontario specifically, which is where I practice and what I can speak to, you must have a lawyer for real estate transactions, and that has been tried. People have tried to change that. Title insurance companies in the early 1990s made a strong push to get lawyers out of real estate law and just have insurance companies deal with the transactions. But there was a pushback from the Law Society, and it was determined that lawyers do provide some sort of value and a protection to clients when it comes to real estate transactions, specifically when it comes to fraud and things like this. So that's why lawyers are required to close a real estate transaction in Ontario.
So based on your experience in the past, what are some common mistakes or errors that you find when you receive a purchase contract from whether it's a realtor, buyer, or even a seller?
Right. Another great question, because unfortunately, real estate lawyers tend to get involved in the process after the deal has been made, all the negotiations have taken place, and the contract has been signed. I tell my realtors all the time to feel free to get me involved in that process. If they need to make changes to schedules and add things to schedules to protect the clients, then that's something I'm more than happy to do. Some common mistakes you'll find in agreement of purchase and sales is, like, for example, something like a hot water tank or like a furnace is included in the purchase agreement when it shouldn't have been, or when the purchaser thought it wouldn't have been. So that's one thing I look for when I'm reviewing. Another common mistake is the use. So sometimes people buy a property thinking that they can use it for a certain purpose, or thinking that there are two legal units in the property. However, it's usually the case that it's only a single family residence. And either that's been left blank on the agreement or has been misrepresented. So that's something I like to point out to my clients as well, that make sure that the zoning in terms of the use of the property that you want to purchase.
And that's one thing I like about you, is because every time I have a deal where there's some vague clauses or some confusion, we can always give you a call and you can kind of give us a heads up before we put in the offer. So that's something of value, in my opinion, that you provide or you bring to the table that other people might not do. So that's
Absolutely.
Something that we really appreciate. Now, When we go into a house and we secure the deal, a lot of times in the clause we put down that the buyer has a right to do a walkthrough or a visit of the property before he actually moves in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is this final walkthrough so important, in your opinion, before the closing?
Yes, another great point. And there's a couple of things I'll say about that is, again, that's a mistake I've seen in agreements and purchases of sale, where there is something included in terms of a walkthrough or a visit before closing, but it'll say something like only for inspection or only at a certain time. So it is very important to make sure that that clause is worded accurately and correctly and precisely to show that why the client is coming and what they're allowed to do and what the process is to arrange that time. Now, having said that, once you are in the house for a final inspection or inspection before closing, it's important to take note of any issues that you have. Take pictures if you can of any problems that weren't there when you first saw the house, and then to bring those matters to the attention of your lawyer first and foremost, and also the real estate agent, because sometimes agents can get a lot done that lawyers can't. But definitely bring it to the attention of your lawyer so that we can at least send this communication to the other side, so that there's some record that you did make a complaint or did raise this issue before closing. So that gives us more leverage to try to obviously get some reduction in money if that's appropriate, or hold back money after closing until the issues have been resolved.
Okay. Now, I think the next question I have here relates to a lot of realtors out there that are in this market right now because it's so hot. Now, myself included, you know, sometimes, you know, time is really of the essence, and we find that, you know, we have a certain time to deliver the deposit check or a certain time to send in our waiver or fulfillment of notice of conditions. Now, let's just say, for example, we have 24 hours to submit the deposit check after the agreement is made. Let's say I come the day after and not within 24 hours. Am I technically still tied to that deal, or can the seller actually go to somebody else and make a deal with somebody else?
Right. Yeah, another great question. So a lot of times when deals like this fall through and it goes to court and it goes through litigation and all the facts come to light, these are the type of facts that end up deciding the case one way or the other. So there's two things. One is the written agreement and the importance of clearly stating when a waiver is supposed to be delivered, how it's supposed to be delivered, and at what time. So that's the first thing when it comes to waivers. And same thing with deposit checks. It should be clear, you know, is the offer being submitted, is the deposit going to be submitted after the offer has been accepted, or is the deposit a condition of the offer being accepted? So those are the subtleties here that need to always be paid attention to, because if the agreement says that the check is being submitted with the offer and it's not, then technically, or legally I should say, there is no agreement. There has to be that money submitted simultaneously, or however the agreement provides for that deposit check. If it's not, then it's up to the seller how they feel about the situation. As we were discussing off the podcast, the situation in today's market is that it's so hot. Sellers are actually looking for opportunities like this to jump on to get out of the deal, because they know that within a month their property value may have increased by, you know, 10 to 15% in some cases. So you could potentially lose out on a deal if a deposit check is not submitted on time, or if a waiver isn't delivered in the appropriate method.
And that's even if, let's say, you do plan on doing it, but you don't do it, you can still be at a loss of the property, right?
Correct, yeah. Correct. But I should mention that, you know, in most cases, if the parties have agreed,
yeah,
to something, then usually that takes precedence. But
okay,
you never know when, yeah, some lawyer might advise a client to cancel a deal.
The safe bet would be just to get the stuff done on time, I guess.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Like you always do.
Thanks. All right. Shameless plug there. Appreciate,
yeah,
that. Final question here. What does a seller need to disclose when selling a property?
Oh, good question. So, you know, technically speaking, when you're working with agents, you have that protection that whatever you've disclosed to your agent is what needs to be disclosed to the other side. In private deals, it's a bit more complicated, but we can save that for another day. But generally speaking, if you know about an issue and you fail to disclose it, and the client who purchases that property later on suffers some damages or some negative effects, then you could be held liable or face legal action for failing to disclose that information. However, it would be a matter of fact, you know, and it would be a question of fact for someone to kind of prove that you had to have known it. So there has to be proof that you knew about it and then you failed to disclose it. So those two things need to be there for you to have liability.
All right. Thank you so much, Nabil. That was a fantastic interview. I appreciate all your insight and experience in the business. And if you're looking for a real estate lawyer, Nabil Naqvi is your guy. He's a professional and he also gets things done on time as well. So thank you so much for that. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Take care. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.